Seeking mental health support? Tune in to What Shape Are You In, the ultimate mental health show. Expert advice, inspiring stories, and practical strategies. Join us every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Break barriers, challenge stigma. Remember, your mind matters.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Unity FM. My name is Beresford Dawkins. I'm the Community Development Manager for Birmingham and Solihull Mental Health Trust. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, and happy Eid if you celebrate Eid. Yeah, and what weather are we having for that? I'm kind of jealous that I'm inside. However, I have to say, the air con's nice in here, so that's a real blessing in that way. So again, if you're celebrating Eid and you happen to be listening to the show, you know I'm going to want to hear from you later, because we're talking about a very important subject. And if you've just joined us for the first time, this is a partnership with Unity FM. And let me tell you, it's been an 8-year partnership. Can you believe that? And I'm really proud that we've managed to secure this partnership in the way that we have. And it's a partnership that's going to go on for a while, because you're telling us that you want to keep it, and we certainly want to keep it. And our 72,000 patients that we look after, not that all of them are listening, of course, it's really important, because we look after 72,000 patients across Birmingham and Solihull, and we know that the demand is there. And we're about change, and we're about transformation. And we're always seeking to do things better. And our question, the program itself is entitled, What Shape Are You In? And it's a kind of rhetorical question where we're asking you, the local community, what shape are you in? And also our services, we're asking our services, what shape are we in? Are we doing a good job? How can we improve? Are the partnerships that we've got the right partnerships? We talk about co-design and co-production. Those are words that we use all the time, but what does that actually look like when it comes to providing services for our service users and our local community? So we're saying, we want to know, what shape are you in? Give us a call today on 0121 772 8892. You might want to send us a text on 07917 137 080. I'll repeat that again. Give us a call on 0121 772 8892. You might want to send us a text on 07917 137 080. And I'm really pleased to say, as always, I have a fantastic panel of guests. And I always say this as well, we sometimes give young people in the city a really bad deal. And I'm really pleased to say we've got a cohort of young people on the panel today, doctors, psychiatrists, that are on a mission, similar to myself, to improve the services, particularly mental health services. And I'm really pleased to say we've got them with us today. And you should know that we're going to be doing a series of events. And that series of events are coming up for the next 4 months. And I'm sure Olivia's going to tell me if I've got that right. So 4 months is excellent. And I'm so excited, I'm even struck for words. But I want to introduce the panel to you today. We've got Dr. Shaquila Linton, Dr. Obis, and I'm going to get his name wrong. I kind of said to him I was going to get that wrong. And of course, we've got Olivia Jones. And Obs, Dr. Obs, sorry about your second name. I'm going to come to you first, just so I can apologize. And if you can tell us your second name, please.
Of course. Afternoon all. So, yes, my name is Dr. Obs Aladimarin. I'm clinical psychologist, working across a few different sectors. So primarily working across sport, corporate, and also private practice, with an extensive history working in the NHS, which is an area that I'm still passionate about. Also very passionate about making sure that communities and people from the global majority, so Black people, Asian people, are able to get the support that we need from mental health services in the NHS and outside. So really excited to be here today to talk about this and talk about how we can shape that going forward.
Fantastic to have you, and thank you for being with us. And secondly, I feel as if I know her now for a long time. We've been talking over a couple of weeks, and someone who's really going to make an impact within our services. She's also linked to Birmingham Solihull Home Mental Health Trust, and she's one of the lead psychiatrists at Birmingham Healthy Minds. Welcome, Olivia. Olivia Jones, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here. Fantastic. I can hear you. Hi, everybody. Yeah, I'm Olivia. I'm not a psychiatrist, actually, Beresford. I'm a psychological therapist.
Psychological therapist. I'm probably speaking into the future, maybe. I don't know.
maybe. But yeah, I work within Birmingham Healthy Minds, and I feel really blessed to say that, you know, we are working on, we hope to be a meaningful and bespoke project, which is improving access for Black men. And I hope that we, you know, we can use today to talk about actually what are the access barriers, what are services doing and not doing, which are making it difficult for certain communities to access support. And, you know, it's not just me, it's Shaquila, it's Obs as well, and the rest of the Improving Access for Black Men's team, which are really passionate about this area. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. We're excited to be here. And I just know that we're going to have a meaningful conversation.
Fantastic. And our third guest, last but by no means least, Dr. Shaquila Linton. Welcome to the program and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me today. I'm really excited to join the rest of the panel. So yeah, my name's Dr. Shaquila Linton. I'm a clinical psychologist and I work in the community mental health team in North Birmingham. I'm from Birmingham and I'm proud to be a Brummie. And I'm really passionate about this topic area. I mean, for my doctoral training, it was focused on Black men. So a lot of my findings are kind of linked to the questions that we're going to be thinking about today together. And yeah, as Ob said, I'm really passionate about global majority mental health and reducing disparities in access and sort of experiences and outcomes of mental health as well when accessing mental health services. So looking forward to where we might go with the conversation today.
Absolutely fantastic. And as you heard, we've got three experienced panelists and we're really going to dive in and we're going to ask the difficult question, you know, what is it about service design and the services that we offer that makes young men not want to access the service? What is that about? And we're really going to go into it deeply. And the research part of the question is really important because we've got two specific doctors here. We've done some research around that. And that data is going to inform us about why some of that is happening. But also, I'm going to go to Olivia after and ask, well, actually, why? What can we do differently now that we have the information, now that we have the data? So if you want to be part of that conversation, give us a call, 0121-772-8892. Send us a text message on 07917-137080. So the question we're going to kick off with, and I'll probably go with you first, Dr. Shaquila, and just the question is, what is it about services that are designed in the way that they're designed and delivered or communicated that means Black men, Black and brown men for that matter, do not feel that they can access services?
Wow, that's a full question. It's a really loaded question and I feel like I could go in so many different directions. But I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is I guess the presentation of how traditional mental health services may be perceived by Black men. But also how we also present ourselves as well. I mean, some services may not look approachable. Some people working within the services may not look approachable. So there's a lot of barriers, we can say, that make it harder for Black men in particular to access these services. I think one big thing, if we think about the history of healthcare in general, for Black people identify coming from a Black ethnic population, is that there's a history of mistrust and uncertainty about whether when we're coming into services, whether these services are actually for us, do they have good interests in us, do they actually want to help us, because there is a history of not helping, of actually doing more harm than good when it comes to accessing these services. So I think there's the aspect of what Black men may be thinking in their mind themselves about, can I actually trust these people when I'm coming into these services, but also whether we are actually making these services accessible for these men as well. How are we adapting? Are we making sure that we're making cultural adaptations for these men? Are we aware of what those cultural adaptations might be? Are we making sure that there are people working in these systems that make it easier to build trust, for example, having that representation? So I think it's growing, but I think there is still more space to grow to make that accessing to sort of care a bit easier for Black men as well.
Brilliant. And you highlighted the presentation of how services may look to us. Just kind of help us develop that notion that actually if services don't look right, chances are people are not going to want to engage.
Yeah, I think it comes from a number of different angles. So it might be the building itself, you know, and the spaces within the building. Where I work is very clinical based. You know, you've got quite pale walls with, you know, a little bit of artwork, but it kind of come across as quite uninviting and very clinical and not warm. And, you know, I could only imagine what it would feel like coming into these rooms if you had experience coming into mental health services through more harsh pathways, like through restrictive pathways. Then it could be re-traumatizing. It could be, you know, it might not be the safest place for someone to want to open up and share their most vulnerable parts of themselves. So I think visually how buildings may look, but yeah, I think it also relates to that sort of representation I was talking about as well, and how you feel you can connect with another person if you don't feel they would understand you, because they may be from a different ethnic background as well.
Okay. 0121 772 8892. You're hearing from Dr. Shaquila Linton, who's really trying to describe, you know, some of the challenges that we face as Black men, older Black men, younger Black men, Black and brown men together. And why is it that we're not engaging with services? If you're listening to this program today, give us a call. First of all, do you think you need help? Do you need kind of support in some of the challenges that you might be facing? When you think about some of the global problems that we're having right across the country, the globe at the moment, you hear constantly the big Black, brown, dangerous Black man. Everybody can see that there are issues which lead often to challenging behavior. I'm not going to describe behavior. We're often described as big, Black, and dangerous. What does that mean for you? Some of the stop and search laws that are impacting us, some of the SOS laws when I was back in the 70s, that's what it was called then, and some of the challenges that we're having. If you're listening to this program now, I dare you to call us, 0121 772 8892. Get involved in the conversation. We're talking about possible reform. We're talking about change. We're talking about transformation. It's all of that. But we've got doctors and we've got researchers on this call that can help us unpack some of those difficulties and some of those challenges that we're having. And Dr. Obs, I'm going to come to you because I could see you nodding along there with Dr. Shaquila. And again, as a young Black man yourself, talk to me about some of the challenges that you think other men in your peers and your sort of generation that might be facing some of the challenges, and how does that impact them and stop them accessing services?
Yeah, so yeah, I kind of look at this question a bit in a twofold way, right? So understanding cultural norms alongside mistrust and stigma, which have been mentioned before. So coming back to cultural norms, what I mean by that is, so my doctoral thesis looked at how do Black British communities in this country cope with mental distress when they are going through mental distress. What are the things that they do to get through it or to move through it, basically? And for a lot of Black men, my findings showed us that emotional suppression alongside concealment are quite common patterns that a lot of Black men might engage in. So when we're thinking about why that might stop them, those ideas, standards and scripts around what it means to be masculine, what it means to be strong, what it means to be resilient, often that equals silence. So often silence is rewarded as opposed to vulnerability. So when you're coming to a mental health service and when you're coming to therapy in the kind of NHS, there's that expectation to be vulnerable, to be open, to put all your cards on the table. Actually, when we're thinking about cultural norms, black men haven't really grown up in a world where they see that as an option for them. So as a result of that, it then makes services maybe feel harder to access, or maybe it makes services seem like they're for other people, not for me. They might say, "Oh yeah, that's for other people to have and go to."
What do we mean by other people? Why is it for other people and not for us? Is it?
Yeah. So they may think, yeah. So obviously, like ideally, we all want what services to be for everybody. However, they may feel like it's for other people because they don't know many of their peers, many of their family and friends that have accessed it. So therefore, it's not really something for us. Equally as well, they may worry that the persons that they will be put in front of might not necessarily understand their world, their circumstances, aspects of their identity, such as their race, their gender, religion, all that kind of stuff, basically. So that's why it's great that there's an emerging population of young black psychologists, therapists, counsellors coming into this profession so we can work in frontline NHS services where we can be seen and we can get alongside black men and support them. So if therapists and psychologists have a good understanding around things that they already do, such as suppression, concealment, there's many ways that we can maybe use that in the therapy room to bridge that kind of understanding as to why it might be so hard for them to come forward.
Wow. You mentioned in the therapy room, and probably we're going to come to that later, because, again, as Dr. Shakila was saying, what does a therapy room look like? But before we do that, I want to, perhaps both of you can start to unpack what it means when we say understanding the world of a black or brown man. Why is that different from other cultures and other people from other backgrounds? Why do we feel that's different? Because if we're saying that this service that's been co-produced and co-designed for a particular cohort, and here we are trying to knock the door on services, what does the world of a black and brown man look like? And why is that different? Any one of you can take that. That looks like you then, Dr. Shakila. I think Obs is offering that to you first.
I think we can go in so many different directions. I think the first thing that's coming up for me, and I think one of the sort of themes that emerged from my research, was this sort of, it doesn't start from when someone's coming into services. That's not where the challenges start. It's that early life adversity, right? And a lot of the time people are in states of survival, being a man, and Obs, you mentioned this role of masculinity, signs of being vulnerable is a sign of weakness and you have to stay strong. That can then by default mean that you do suppress your emotions, you do internalize, and suppression can mean that things just boil up. If you're not talking to someone, then it's just going to boil up. And I think one of the other things that came up from my research was that sort of generational aspect, in terms of if you don't have that safe sort of secure base, a parent, a caregiver to talk to about your thoughts, your feelings, if they don't take any notice, or if they're giving that same message of, to not talk, to suppress your emotions, then you're going to learn to not talk and express your emotions. And your main focus is potentially going to be on your living environment and where you are. So a lot of the themes or the ideas that came up was redirecting the focus onto, how am I going to survive today? How am I going to deal with all the problems that are happening around me? The adversity that's happening around me. Some of my participants spoke about, witnessing murder, you know, witnessing family members going into the criminal justice system. So it's like, how, why would you be prioritizing your mental health if there's no one around there helping you shape to prioritize your mental health?
Wow. Thank you for that. That's really helpful. I know, Abs, you want to come back in, but we just had a text message, which is a really nice segue into what you're saying, because, and again, this is why we need a series, Olivia. So I'm going to try and read the question. It's a big question. So I'm going to try and read it and read it carefully. In the current political and social mood, i.e. the climate in the UK, do you think by serving ethnic minorities or putting the emphasis on BME might put off a small minority from using the NHS, as it might be deemed that the service isn't for me anymore? Okay, Olivia, you might want to chime in on that one.
Yeah, a really good question. So thank you for the texter for you know, bringing in this
texter
conversation.
711, thank you so much. Appreciate the text.
Absolutely. We know, I'm going to start in two different ways. I think it is incredibly important that we do specialised offers, because we know from the data shows that there are certain communities which are unfortunately really underserved, black men being one, and the black communities also being another more broadly. And I think, yes, we are living in a strange time. The socio-political climate is very, very difficult. And I think I would say that we need to lean into this. I think there's a lot of communities which need to see, actually more than ever, that this is a space for them. Because like what Obs was saying and Shakila was saying, this is not a new it's not a new thing that black people are experiencing emotional pain. This is really generational. It's historic as well. And we cannot assume trust. And I just want to finish my point off with this, and then I want to move on to the second part around other groups which may feel like they're marginalized by this. But we can't assume trust just because, you know, a service is available. You know, there are certain communities where trust has to be built up. You know, it may be personal, through family, community experiences, being misunderstood by institutions. You know, there is also something about how statutory institutions can be grouped together as well. So even as someone who works within the NHS, and I know people can't see me, I'm a black woman, I'm a sister, I'm a mom, you know, it's important for me to say this when we talk about these conversations. I understand why people might do that and lump our services together. But in this socio-political climate at the moment, we've got lots of things going on. You know, 2019, we had George Floyd. More recently, we had Eve Sakila as well. That was last month. And I know for some people, people might say, oh, this is a little bit far removed, you know, but for communities, they're feeling it, and they've been feeling it for years and generations. And it's important that we have specialized messaging and we develop internal ecosystems which are for people who have been historically underserved in communities. So on one aspect, yes, I think it's important for us to have these specialised offers. And I don't, I guess this is a question that I have for, you know, listeners listening in, and Obs and Shakila and you, Beresford, as well. I don't necessarily see us having specialised offers as something which other groups may feel like it's not for them. You know, we're still services and we support everybody, but when we look at equity, it's different to looking at inequalities. Inequalities is treating everybody the same, you know. We know from time and time again that that operation, that way of working, doesn't always serve everybody, and actually some certain groups become even more marginalized. So we need to work towards a more equitable type of services where we notice the bespoke needs of certain communities and groups and do the work there. And it does mean that certain communities have different things for them.
Brilliant, thank you for that, Olivia. That was again, it takes us into so many different directions. And again, Texter, thank you so much for that 7711. Thank you, really. That's a great call. So, if you want to join in the conversation, please feel free to pick up the phone and give us a call. And I want to throw in the point that actually, and the researchers, tell me if I've got this wrong, because the data is telling us, and we're coming up to the break now as well, so we might want to just ponder this over the break. The data is telling us consistently, historically, that black men are the most vulnerable in this area. So shouldn't we be thinking about, if we're getting it right for the most vulnerable people in society, don't we get it right for everyone? So therefore, the services that we're trying to improve, everyone can benefit from this, right? So that's my question to my panelists, and it's also my question to you, the listeners. And we're coming up to the break, and we're in conversation with Dr. Obs, Dr. Shaquila, and also our therapist, Olivia Jones, and we're really getting into it, and we can see the importance of why this needs to be a series already. Already the times, we're half an hour in and we've just begun the conversation. So please join us, 0121 772 8892. See you right after this break.